We can thumb our noses at them. Exactly. All the same, Bwana, what are we to do with this food if we don't need it? You save it. You save it to thwart the gods when they decide it's your turn to go hungry. You save it so that when they send a drought, you can say, not me, goddammit, I'm not going hungry. And there's nothing you can do about it because my life is in my own hands now. Ishmael nodded, shedding his role as hunter-gatherer. Mother culture teaches that your revolution was basically just a technological advance, but now you see that it served and continues to serve a powerful mythological function. It was a revolution that put you beyond the reach of the gods. Yes, that's it. So we have a new pair of names for you. The takers are those who know good and evil, and the leavers are... The leavers are those who live in the hands of the gods. About 3 o'clock, the rain stopped and the carnival yawned, stretched, and went back to work separating the rubes from their money. At loose ends again, I hung around for a while, let myself be separated from a few bucks, and finally had the idea of tracking down Ishmael's owner. This turned out to be a hard-eyed black man named Art Owens, who was 5 feet tall and spent more time lifting weights than I do at the typewriter. I told him I was interested in buying his gorilla. "Data fact," he said. Not scornful, not impressed, not interested, not anything. I told him it was, and asked how much it would take. "Would take about 3,000. "I'm not that interested. "How interested are you?" "Just curious." "Well, more like 1,000. He sneered, just a little, almost politely. For some reason I liked this guy. He was the type who has a law degree from Harvard stuck away in a drawer somewhere because he never found anything to do with it that appealed to him. "Might go to 2,500, he said. "I could possibly raise 15. "Don't see how I could go below 22, that's a fact. If it was right there in my hand, I thought he'd take 2 grand, maybe even 1,800. I said I'd think about it. It was a Friday night, so the suckers didn't start going home till after 11, and my bribee didn't come around to collect his 20 till midnight. Ishmael was asleep, sitting up, still bundled in his blankets, and I didn't feel any qualms about waking him. I wanted him to reassess the charms of independence. He yawned, sneezed twice, cleared his throat of a mass of phlegm, and fixed me in a bleary, malevolent glare. "Come back tomorrow," he croaked. "Tomorrow's Saturday. Hopeless." He wasn't happy about it, but he knew I was right. He managed to put off the inevitable by laboriously rearranging himself, his cage, and his blankets, and then he settled down and gave me a look of loathing.
"Where did we leave off?"
"We left off with a new pair of names for the takers and the leavers, those who know good and evil, and those who live in the hands of the gods," he grunted.
"What happens to people who live in the hands of the gods?"
"What do you mean?"
"Before you were homo, you were what?"
"Australopithecus."
"Good. And how did Australopithecus become homo? Did he do it by saying, we know good and evil as well as the gods, so there's no need for us to live in their hands like rabbits? From now on, we'll decide who lives and who dies on this planet, not the gods. Could he have become man by saying that?"
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because he would have ceased to be subject to the conditions under which evolution takes place."
"Exactly. Now you can answer the question, what happens to people who live in the hands of the gods?"
"Oh, yes, I see. They evolve."
"And now, how did man become man?"
"Man became man by living in the hands of the gods."
"By living the way the Bushmen of Africa live. By living the way the Kri Nakrore of Brazil live."
"That's right."
"Not the way the Chicagoans live. Not the way Londoners live."
"No.
So now you know what happens to people who live in the hands of the gods."
"Yes, they evolve. Because they're in a position to evolve, because in the hands of the gods is where evolution happens."
"And that's why it all happened, why Australopithecus became Homo habilis, and why Homo habilis became Homo erectus, and why Homo erectus became Homo sapiens, and why Homo sapiens became Homo sapiens sapiens."
"Yes."
"And then what happened?"
Then the takers said, "We've had enough of living in the hands of the gods. No more natural selection for us, thanks very much." And that was that. You remember I said that to enact a story is to live so as to make it come true?
Yes.
According to the Taker story, creation came to an end with man. How would you live so as to make that come true? How would you live to make creation come to an end with man?
Oh, good Lord, I see what you mean.
You would live the way the Takers live. We're definitely living in a way that's going to put an end to creation. If we go on, there will be no successor to man, no successor to chimpanzees, no successor to gorillas, no successor to anything alive now. The whole thing is going to come to an end with us. In order to make their story come true, the Takers have to put an end to creation itself. And they're doing a damn good job of it.
When we began, and I was trying to help you find the premise of the Taker's story, I told you the Lever story has an entirely different premise. Perhaps you're ready to articulate it now. The premise of the Taker story is the world belongs to man. Can you figure out the premise of the Lever story?
I thought for a couple of minutes, and then I laughed. It's almost too neat. The premise of the Lever story is man belongs to the world.
Meaning what?
Meaning, I barked a laugh. It's really too much, meaning that right from the beginning, everything that ever lived belong to the world, and that's how things came to be this way. Those single-celled creatures that swam in the ancient oceans belonged to the world, and because they did, everything that followed came into being. Those club-finned fish offshore of the continents belonged to the world, and because they did, the amphibians came into being. And because the amphibians belonged to the world, the reptiles came into being. And because the reptiles belonged to the world, the mammals came into being. And because the mammals belonged to the world, the primates came into being. And because the primates belonged to the world, Australopithecus came into being. And because Australopithecus belonged to the world, man came into being. And for 3 million years, man belonged to the world, and because he belonged to the world, he grew and developed and became brighter and more dexterous, until one day he was so bright and so dexterous that we had to call him Homo sapiens sapiens, which means he was us. And that's the way the Levers lived for 3 million years, as if they belonged to the world.